studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, trusting everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and also about people who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I'm asking you to, and you really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down at the dragon in the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. And as always, we are going to start out with announcements here. Unfortunately, the first announcement we have is that Luna, the Stafford giant, the redwood tree in which Julia Hill, sometimes known as Butterfly, spent 2 years of her life, has been vandalized. An environmental saga that transfixed the world took an ugly turn earlier this week when it was revealed that Luna, a thousand-year-old redwood that was home for 2 years to tree sitter Julia Butterfly Hill, has suffered a Jeep chainsaw cut that could prove fatal. There's no suspect for the act of vandalism, but authorities say an investigation is continuing. The giant Humboldt County tree was protected under an agreement reached with Pacific Lumber Company last year when Hill ended her protest. The company agreed to preserve Luna and a 200-foot buffer zone in exchange for a $50,000 payment from Hill and her legion of supporters. In a statement issued by the Circle of Life Foundation, an organization Hill has helped establish, she condemned the vicious attack on Luna. Quote, "I feel this as surely as if the chainsaw was going through me," she says. "Words cannot express the deep sorrow I'm feeling, and I am as committed as ever to do everything in my power to protect Luna and the remaining ancient forests." The gash in the 200-foot-tall redwood tree was discovered Saturday by one of Hill's supporters just after Thanksgiving. The observers at the scene said the cut measures 32 inches deep and 19 feet around the base, somewhat less than half the circumference of the tree. Fresh sawdust at the scene and the precise placement of the cut indicates the vandalism occurred during the last week by someone adept at sawing large trees, authorities said. The timber faller who examined Luna said no longer in the course of his work would climb that tree now because it could fall at any time, particularly in high winds, and winter is coming on. They have put some braces at the base of the tree in hopes of keeping Luna standing until they can make some sort of biologically acceptable repairs to Luna. So no word right now whether Luna can be saved. Most arborists at the scene only gave Luna a 20-30% chance of surviving as a living tree. And the Monkey Wrench Gang claims sabotage in the Alajo Valley. An underground group known only as the Monkey Wrench Gang is claiming a recent act of sabotage in the Alajo Valley of British Columbia. George Hayduke, the group's media liaison, says the gang recently crippled a giant generator owned by International Forest Products, or Interfor, by pouring abrasives into the machine's crankcase while it was running. Quote, "Sabotage is easy," said Hayduke. "All you need is determination and a little grit." International Forest Products, a Vancouver-based corporation, holds the permit to log the Upper Alajo Valley, an area of untouched ancient forest that includes the rare Alajo Giants, some of the oldest Douglas fir trees in the world. The embattled logging company has provoked blockades, tree spiking, and worldwide boycotts because of its destructive practices. Let's be clear on one thing. We're not the peaceful protesters, Hayduke says. Standing on logging roads, climbing trees, and waving signs is great, but this game is for keeps. We're not going to hurt anyone, but we're definitely going to stop those damn machines. And the Earth Liberation Prisoners Group has recently learned that Randall Mark has been imprisoned for forest defense actions. Randall has just recently spent 2 months in jail for throwing a dead salmon at Congresswoman Helen Chenoweth of Idaho in a protest at the destruction of a forest. A week after this sentence finished, Randall was sentenced to 45 more days for charges related to a one-year-old arrest of blocking a Forest Service road to the Otter Wing timber sale in central Idaho. Randall could use some letters of support. You can write to him at Randall Mark, Inmate, Lata, that's L-A-T-A-H, County Jail, P.O. Box 8068, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, USA. Once again, that's Randall Mark, Inmate, Lata, County Jail, P.O. Box 8068, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, USA. And if you'd like to make a donation to his legal fee, please send donations to the Randall Mark Legal Defense Fund, P.O. Box 8452, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Once again, that's P.O. Box 8452, Moscow, Idaho, 83843 for the donations. And Jeremy Parkin, dedicated animal rights activist, has been booked into the Salt Lake City Adult Detention Complex on 3 charges of felony theft, 1 count of felony criminal mischief, and 1 count of felony burglary. The animal rights groups protesting around the nation as part of Fur Free Friday, a national anti-fur event last week. Parkin's home was swarmed by approximately 14 FBI agents and local sheriff's deputies in a surprising demonstration of militaristic force. They closed off his entire residential street in order to apprehend him. Parkin is a vocal animal rights activist who speaks out on behalf of abused animals as well as underground direct action groups like the Animal Liberation Front, who rescue animals slated for death and cause economic sabotage upon those who profit from the slaughter of non-human beings. The charges that Parkin is facing are related to his work as an activist, but how exactly is not yet known. Parkin's mother commented to friends that the charges were related to a protest at a fur farm last November, which resulted in an unknown number of mink being released, as well as breeding cards for the animals destroyed. She also stated that the FBI mentioned an act of economic sabotage claim by the Animal Liberation Front in San Francisco, resulting in over $30,000 worth of damage done to a storefront. Quote, how do we ever expect things to change unless we are willing to face the oppressors and lay down our lives? He asked friends just a few weeks earlier. Everything short of this is a compromise, and every time we compromise, we give them control. Spokesperson for the newly formed Free Jeremy Collective, Sabrina Forzi, said the FBI is on a witch hunt to burn someone for the so-called crimes of the Animal Liberation Front and have so far gotten nowhere. Harassing and making false charges against this nonviolent animal rights activist will not stop the ALF. The ALF will only cease their relentless direct action campaign when every cage is empty. And moving to the other side of the continent, in their fourth effort in recent weeks to preserve Coram's, New York's fragile wetland habitat of the threatened blue heron, night heron, and painted turtle, members of the Earth Liberation Front smashed out 17-plus windows and spray-painted the erected structures of a clear-cut development site located on Whiskey Road in Coram on Long Island in New York. There's a communique I'll read in just a minute. In an ongoing and intensifying campaign of economic sabotage, members of the Earth Liberation Front pulled up survey stakes, set back cutting, destroyed machinery associated with the clear cutting and development, and shattered more windows. The development along Whiskey Road was only their first stop. Later, the activists moved closer to the island's north shore and paid an additional visit to another development site in Miller Place. Here, the ELF activists destroyed development machinery and left graffiti denouncing urban sprawl. The development off of Whiskey Road in Corum was once state-protected land, which has now fallen into the hands of money-driven developers. Roughly an estimated 500 acres have been clear-cut so far. It is unknown as of yet if more land is planned to be cut or the cutting has now come to a close. Here's the communique. On November 24th, members of the Earth Liberation Front did a fourth action against the construction sites along Whiskey Road in Corum, Long Island. During the action, over 17 windows were smashed, along with spray painting of various slogans. The ELF then proceeded to another site of urban sprawl in Miller Place. They then created some havoc, including decommissioning of earth-raping equipment on a property sale sign and post that was stuck through a bulldozer. Our mark was left: Earth, not for sale. Earth Liberation Front. And moving to Yellowstone National Park, here's the Buffalo Field update for November 28th. With up to 20 buffalo outside of Yellowstone National Park in Montana, we have been running one main all-day car patrol and one hiking patrol. The buffalo are mostly bulls foraging in groups of 2 to 6. We received over 6 inches of fresh snow in the last 2 days. The 250 buffalo we saw about 4 miles inside the park on our flyover could migrate into Montana any day. Our hiking patrol has been making forays along the Madison River into the park, but we have not yet located the herd. Shane, our local Department of Livestock agent, hazed 3 buffalo a couple of miles by himself into Yellowstone Park on Sunday. On Monday morning, we saw 4 gray wolves traveling back into the park along Duck Creek, less than a quarter mile away from the Duck Creek capture facility. We are steadily compiling video footage and documentation of what a fragile environment the West Yellowstone area supports, including numerous endangered and threatened species that frequent the area, and how these animals are adversely affected by the carelessness of the Montana Department of Livestock. One immediate need that the Buffalo Field campaign has at the moment are new radios priced at $450 apiece, and extra batteries to keep us up in the field. Every patrol has a radio so that we can immediately contact other patrols or home base and communicate what the Department of Livestock is doing and what the best strategy is to keep the buffalo safe. We will probably run at least 6 patrols this winter, and right now we only have 4 radios that are operational, so they need some more radios. If you can help them out, please do so. Also, there are 4 Department of Livestock vehicles have arrived from Helena, Montana. They are actively harassing and hazing the 5 or 6 buffalo outside arbitrary park boundaries. This unnecessary stress of the buffalo at a time when they should be conserving their energy for the winter ahead and when there are no cattle in the area is absolutely absurd and sad. Even their own management document states, repeated hazing in the early winter may produce weight loss and poor body condition, which decreases the animal's ability to endure the remaining winter. This issue must be dealt with now before buffalo health is compromised for this approaching winter. We are talking about a situation which is happening at this very time. We only have around 15 volunteers here right now, which is less than a comfortable number to protect the buffalo with. Any immediate help for however long a time span would be appreciated and truly needed, in addition to any monetary or gear donations. If you want more information, go to the following webpage, www.wildrockies.org/buffalo/field989/. And anyway, you can figure it out from there. The Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. That address again, Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. If you want to phone them, here's their number, 406-646-0070. That's 406-646-0070. And, of course, their email is buffalo@wildrockies.org and their webpage, wildrockies.org/buffalo. Here's the report from the Matole in Northern California. Matole activists report that on Tuesday, November 28th, the level of violence had increased. Once again, uniformed deputies of the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department stood by in the disputed units of the Matole timber cut while loggers working for Pacific Lumber directly felled trees towards activists. According to the support base, loggers told activists on the scene, "You're going to get killed if you don't move." The activists, in turn, held their ground, stating, "We aren't going to move." The loggers then went ahead and felled the trees. which they had already admitted could kill the activists in the direction of the activists. The uniformed sheriff's deputies on the site did not intervene to prevent these homicidal activities. Some of the activists on the site reported that the deputies were laughing and smiling as the trees were felled in the direction of citizens on the scene. On the same day, the same disputed logging site, activists reported that sheriff's deputies also stood by and did nothing while loggers working for Pacific Lumber felled trees in the direction of other trees which are currently occupied by activists. Deputies on the site, according to the activists, did find the energy, however, to assault various demonstrators. At least one activist was slammed face first into a tree with sufficient force to cause nosebleeding for several hours. Deputies on the scene also found the energy to attempt to inflict dehydration on citizens demonstrating against PL's logging of the toll. They confiscated the activists' water containers. The Humboldt County Sheriff's Department previously demonstrated ethical incapacity and the inability to comprehend the norms of civilized societies when they deliberately documented their own deputies' application of chemical weapons to the eyes and faces of immobilized demonstrators in a training film. The subsequent release of that film, what may be described as the spray seen round the world, also known as Fire in the Eyes, sparked global denunciation and outrage in response to the deputies' egregious use of violence against seated nonviolent demonstrators. The events reported on November 27th and 28th suggest the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department has learned nothing from the civil rights suits and the denunciations arising from their use of chemical weapons, and has also failed to learn even the most basic lesson from their murder of David Chain. The sworn duty of the department is to protect all the people. The oath does not confine their protection to people with chainsaws. To defend the forest and thwart those who threaten murder on behalf of Charlie Hurwitz and Pacific Lumber, and to those in uniform or out willing to abet them, consider contributions, gear, dollars, whatever you can do, including yourself, to the Matole Defenders. Here's their phone number, 707-441-3828. That's 707-441-3828. Or you can also call North Coast Earth First at 707-825-6598. And, of course, the webpage. Our email is ncef@humboldt1.com. And here's the latest Matole update. As of today, 5 activists have been arrested and about 36 trees felled. Humboldt County sheriffs have been aggressively protecting Columbia Helicopter and Pacific Lumber crews while logging trees, chasing activists through the woods, tackling and assaulting them. It is now raining, and there is about a 48-hour reprieve until at least Friday morning, and that's the 1st of December. And Earth First Radio has received a pronouncement from the national and international to the national and international community from the Association of UWA Traditional Authorities. Once again, the UWA people reject the enslaving attitude of Occidental Petroleum, which continues to disregard the sovereignty and legitimacy of the UWA, a millennial people, by allowing agents of the multinational Occidental Columbia Incorporation to trample our ancestral territory. For our people, it is ominous and abusive that the men of Occidental, along with the Colombian government, program actions that injure and violate the cultural and territorial principles of the UWA and of the campesinos, who are our brothers, who come with impartiality to support our just cause. Therefore, the UWA people continue with our strong position against exploitation of our resources in our ancestral and sacred territory. We continue denouncing before the world the inhuman acts that the multinational Occidental of Colombia Incorporated and the Pastrana government render upon our people. We do not accept for any reason the expropriation of our territory, which is duly titled in the name of the collective property of the UWA people. Soon the company will carry out an expropriation which engineer Pedro Valderrama claims has been duly legalized by a decision from a judge from Toledo Norte de Santander, where the company could utilize 12 hectares. We believe the expropriation of 4 hectares of land titled under collective deed and duly registered to the UWA people is imminent. This land also makes up part of our ancestral territory. This is how Occidental has shown its interest to the media by hiding the abuses and violations that are plotted with the Colombian government to satisfy the necessities of the multinational companies, and as a consequence, violating human rights and exterminating human and natural resources and the millennial cultures that still exist in this territory. So that life continues, we conserve the water, soil, and trees, signed Kuebira Rikara, delegate of the traditional authority, Sirakubu Tigiria, delegate of the traditional authority. And this pronouncement was issued on November 22nd. Are you looking for the Casey Neal Trio? Well, this Friday, December 1st, you can find them at the Sirens Pub in Port Townsend, Washington. And on Sunday, December 3rd, in Portland, Oregon, at St. John's Pub. Also in Eugene, Oregon, on December 6th at Sam Bond's Garage, and on December 7th on Portland, Oregon, at the Snake and Weasel. Back in Bellingham, Washington, Casey Neal will be playing Thursday, December 14th at the Wild Buffalo, and on the 15th and 16th in Anacortes, Washington, at the Watertown Pub. And I guess they end their Washington Oregon tour on December 17th in Portland, Oregon, at the White Eagle. So there'll be more. They're moving to the East Coast as of the first of the year. So anyway, we'll be looking for the Casey Neal Trio playing around somewhere soon. Here's an announcement from the MASH Clinic. These are Medicine for Activists Seeking Health and Healing. We are announcing a Wilderness First Responder course geared for activists involved in forest defense and frontline direct action. The course will be held near Garberville, California, starting February 23rd, and this is a tentative date. This is a 10-day course with the option of 2 days extra training for activists. The cost, $500, but there may be a couple of scholarships available. A deposit of $150 is due by January 15th. Sign up now because space is limited and will fill up fast. If you're reading this after January 15th, call now as there may be still, well, we're not. So anyway, give them a call. Here's the blurb. Emergency medicine is a critical skill to have in our collective toolbox. It is becoming imperative that more of us know how to respond in emergency situations where lives are at risk. It is empowering to be able to assess for spinal or head injury, how to evacuate someone from an area that paramedics cannot reach, how to assess and treat heat stroke or hyperthermia, splint a broken leg, or simply how to irrigate a wound. You will learn the language of the emergency medical system, the patient assessment system, and you will receive a CPR PRO certification. The course is rigorous and demanding, but completely worth the time and effort, and hopefully the money. Total in-class instruction time will be 70 to 90 hours with multiple daily scenario trainings in the field. You have the option of 2 extra days to learn extra rope work, street medic clinic training, and herbal first aid. Please contact the MASH Clinic for more information. Their email address is mashh@wildrockies.org. That's MASH with 2 H's at wildrockies.org or 503-892-5821. That's 503-892-5821. And the public comment period for the Mojave Water Project has been extended on a controversial proposal to drain up to 652 billion gallons of water from an aquifer in the Mojave Desert. The extension has been welcomed by environmentalists who have long opposed the Cadiz Water Company's plan to sell water to the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. The extension also comes in the wake of a revelation that the aquifer water contains high levels of chromium-6, a cancer-causing toxic made famous in the recent movie Aaron Brokovich. The high level of chromium-6 is a problem, and chances are good that there are several other hazards in this water, said Eldon Hughes of the Sierra Club. We're troubled that Cadiz isn't making this kind of information available to the public. Environmentalists fear that the project will permanently damage the fragile desert ecosystems of the Mojave National Preserve by drying up the aquifer that supports the region's plants and animals. They say groundwater mining will dry out the moist beds of 2 large dry lakes, which could give rise to a large dust storms. Stephen Krefting of the National Parks Conservation Association said that Los Angeles and San Diego have alternatives to draining the aquifer, which include water conservation. Quote, the flora and fauna of this region have no alternative, Krefting said. Surely we can take the time to examine whether this project is good for consumers and conservation rather than plunge ahead with a project that could harm both. The new public comment period for the project will close on January 8, 2001. If you'd like to make a public comment, you can send them to Jack Safely, Metropolitan Water District, P.O. Box 54153, Los Angeles, California, 90054. Once again, that address for public comments prior to January 8th is Jack Safely, S-A-F-E-L-Y, Metropolitan Water District, P.O. Box 54153, Los Angeles, California, 90054. Or you can send them to James Williams, Bureau of Land Management, 6221 Box Springs Boulevard, Riverside, California, 92507. Once again, that's James Williams, Bureau of Land Management, 6221 Box Springs Boulevard, Riverside, California, 92507. And we're going to take a little musical break here. I'm going to listen to the new CD by Robert Hoyt. The new CD is called Mind's Eye, and he's graciously provided a copy to Earth First Radio. And we're going to play a selection, this one called Stop, Go.
Well, remember those traditional women's careers that kept them separate from the male peers, like teacher, secretary, nurse. And now there's one more that's worse, and it's stop, go, stop, slow. She can change direction of the traffic flow. She's the flag person on a road construction crew. Stop, go, stop, slow. Why don't they ever let her run the backhoe or lean on a shovel like the men workers do? Well, she's so cool, the way she's trimmed a hard hat and an orange vest. She's got a nation to faith, so obey her signal, don't forget to wave. Stop, go, stop, slow. She can change direction of the traffic flow. She's the flag person on the road construction crew. Stop, go, stop, slow. Why don't they ever let her run the backhoe or lean on shovel like the men workers do? Could offer her a glass of lemonade, hold a big umbrella, give her some shade. What can you do to help see her clear of the asphalt ceiling in her career? Stop, go, stop, slow. She can change direction of the traffic flow. She's the flag person on a road construction crew. Stop, go, stop, slow. Why don't they ever let her run the backhoe or lean on a shovel like the man workers do? Shovel like the man workers do.
And Earth First Radio will be right back.